Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley, the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning as we're going to continue our study on the subject of prayer. But before we get to that, I want to take a couple of minutes here to tell you about the Church of Christ in Gibson. We are a non-denominational group. We're simply trying to be disciples of Jesus, followers of Christ. And we meet every Sunday at our building, which is on the south side of town on Route 47. We're the first building north of the Pizza Hut, catty corner from the drive-in theater. And we're going to meet at 9 o'clock and begin our worship with Bible classes for all ages. In the adult class, we're really in a great study of the life of Christ through a harmony of the Gospels. And we hope you can come out for that. And then at 10 o'clock, our worship will include the entire congregation in singing, prayer, reading scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, and preaching. And this morning is the third in a series of lessons on the subject of how to love difficult people. We'll finish that series this morning. At the conclusion of the sermon, we take a short break and we reassemble for a second Bible class. And in this second class, we're going through the book of Proverbs. We're not looking at every verse and every chapter, but we're looking at some select Proverbs. And we'll be in Proverbs chapter 25 this morning. On Wednesdays, we have a midweek study. It begins at 7 o'clock, it lasts for an hour, and we again have classes for all ages. And in the adult class, we are in a study of the book of Revelation. Right now, we're in chapter 3, and we've been talking about Christ's letter to the churches in Asia, which would be the western part of Turkey today, the seven churches that Christ sent letters to there. And we're talking about Sardis, and we'll be talking about Philadelphia, and possibly we'll get into Laodicea this coming Wednesday, but that will be at 7 o'clock. And we have a website, thegibsoncitychurchofchrist.com. And you can go there and you can see all of our Sunday bulletins that we've been posting. You can listen to audio tapes of the sermons. And you can even listen to the audio tapes of this series on prayer if you've missed some previously. So again, that's gibsoncitychurchofchrist.com. This morning, we're going to go to the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And right near the middle of the Sermon on the Mount is a section on prayer. Really, it's a section on hypocrisy, where Christ talks about false religion, fake goodness. And most of what he said on this occasion was aimed at the Pharisees. It was aimed at the very group that postured that put forth itself as the holiest, most serious, most dedicated, most pious group of Jews that there was in the nation. That was the Pharisees. But as a class, and there were exceptions to this rule, but as a class, the Pharisees were nothing but hypocrites. The word hypocrite was the Greek word for actor. And so Christ takes this word that means actor, he applies it to the Pharisees, and he says, you're not worshiping God, you're just acting like you're worshiping God. You're just pretending like you're worshiping God. You're playing a role. In reality, the Pharisees didn't want to worship God. They wanted men to worship them. They wanted men to think highly of them. They wanted men to praise them. They wanted men to pat them on the back for the kind of person they were. They were proud. They were arrogant. They were duplicitous, they used a double standard, and they were the spearhead in the effort to kill Jesus in the Gospels. And so in Matthew chapter 6, Christ is going to talk about three areas that had been co-opted by the hypocrites. These were matters of worship that the Pharisees would engage in, and if anyone didn't know any better, it would seem like they were very devoted to God, worshiping God. But in fact, Christ, who knew their heart, who could see through their facade, knew what was really going on. He knew what was really motivating them. And so Christ is going to talk about acts of mercy, benevolence. In the King James Version is the word alms, which is a English corruption of the Greek word for mercy. But Christ is talking first of all, about acts of kindness that we do to others, and then he's going to talk about prayer, and then he's going to talk about fasting. And of course, in this series, our emphasis is in seeing what he had to say about prayer. And so, in verses 9 through 13 of Matthew 6, at the exact center of the Sermon on the Mount, I mean, when you count the verses on either side, or when you count the words on either side, or even the letters on either side, it's remarkable how close they are to one another. And so, almost at the center of the Sermon on the Mount is what we call the Lord's Prayer. I'll talk about it in a week or so. But in the prayer, Christ teaches his disciples how to pray. But leading up to the prayer, in verses 5 through 8, Christ is going to teach his disciples how not to pray. He's going to give his disciples two examples of how not to pray. He says, here's the wrong way to go about praying. And it's important that we understand that it is possible to pray improperly. It's possible to pray in such a way that our prayers don't get any higher than our head. They certainly don't get to heaven. And the first characteristic of wrong praying is that you don't pray when you pray. Now, I want to read the verses in question and then come back and talk about this first point, that the first characteristic of a wrong prayer is that you don't pray when you pray, and that was the case with the Pharisees. And so Christ says in Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray in the standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And so, here are the two types of false prayer that Christ talks about. He's going to talk, first of all, about the prayer of the hypocrite in verses 5 and 6. Then he's going to talk about the prayer of the heathen in verse 7. We probably won't get to the heathen prayer today, but let me say a few things about hypocritical prayer, going back to the first point that I made, that false prayer, wrong prayer, is when you don't pray when you pray. Instead, you are pray-acting. That's supposed to be a play on words. Instead of play-acting, you are pray-acting. True prayer, you see, is when God is not merely an idea in your mind, but a vital, real presence in your life. Last week I was talking about Christ and how the only thing that the disciples ever asked him to teach them was how to pray. You see, when they listened to Christ pray, it was as though he was talking to a real person. They didn't get the idea that he was just speaking into the air. They listened to someone who was talking to another as if that other was standing right there in front of him. You see, God the Father was a real, vital presence in the life of Christ. And so we've got to have more in our mind, we've got to have more in our heart than merely an idea of God. We've got to believe that he is present and that we are talking directly to him. Now, that's what's involved in praying. But that's not what's involved when we say our prayers. When we say our prayers, we are engaging in a mindless, stereotypical, lifeless practice that really means nothing to us. I happened to catch a clip of a TV star from back in the 60s the other day. And she was talking about how when she was growing up, her mother sent her to singing class to take singing lessons, and her mother came to hear her at some sort of recital, and when it was all over, her mother told her, you know, you hit every note perfectly, but you didn't mean a word that you sang. And she decided to do something else besides be a singer. And that's the way it can be with prayer. someone's listening to us, we hit every note exactly right. But in our heart, in our mind, what we're saying means nothing to us. You can't pray right. You can't pray true. You can't pray to God when what you're saying means nothing to you. And so in verse 5, Christ says, when you pray, and the Greek word that he uses there that's translated prayer is the word that appears most frequently in the New Testament as the word for communicating with God. Prayer is addressed to God. It's not addressed to anyone else. Now let me say that again. When we pray, we're speaking to God. We're not talking to others. I'm telling you, I've been prayed to on occasion. I've been in assemblies. I've been in churches where some brother is called upon to pray, and he's not talking to God so much as he's talking to me. He may be trying to impress me with his King James speech, with his stained glass vocabulary. You know, one thing people need to learn is that God's got a bigger vocabulary than they do, and there's nothing they're going to say. There's no word they're going to use that's going to impress him. But sometimes I think I've gotten the impression that people have prayed trying to impress me, and then there have been times when people have prayed trying to correct me. They were rebuking me. They wouldn't say anything to me directly, but in prayer, they decide they're going to say something to rebuke me. And maybe I needed to be rebuked. I'm not saying I didn't. But what I'm saying is, when a person's called on to pray and they're talking to me, they're not praying. They're talking to me, not to God. And prayer is for the purpose of talking to God. And that word that Christ uses here emphasizes that. Now, Christ points out that the Pharisees, the hypocrites, when they prayed, they put a lot of attention into where they did their praying. You see, they wanted to maximize the size of their audience, because the more people who heard them pray, the more people they had a chance to impress with how religious, with how holy, with how pious they really were. And so Pharisees would pray standing on street corners where there's a lot of people coming and going, and they would like to pray in synagogues where you have a big group assembled. And the reason they were so concerned with these public venues, again, is that more people might hear them and be impressed by them. And Christ says, that's nothing but hypocrisy. When a hypocrite is praised for how well they prayed, when that's what they prayed for, to get the applause of men, the praise of men, when they get that, Christ said, they've gotten all they're going to get, and they shouldn't expect anything more. They have been paid in full when somebody brags on them, when somebody pats them on the back. And so Christ tells us something to do to counter the pull of hypocrisy, the pull of showing off when we pray. Christ says that when you pray, you go into your room and you shut the door. Now, the word he used, translated room, usually referred to a storage room in a Judean farmhouse, an inner room that was not visible from the street. Christ says, you go where nobody can see you. You go where nobody can hear you. And you pray there. Now, does that mean that we can never offer a prayer in public? Well, of course, that's not what that means. But what that means is, even when we are called upon to pray in public, we are to be praying in private, even when we're praying in public. It's like we're in that inner room where it's just God and us and nobody else. And we're not praying to impress anybody else. We're not praying to chastise anybody else. We are talking to God. Even when we are called upon to pray in public, we ought to approach that prayer with the mindset of praying in private. We are not to pray to impress people. And Christ says that those who pray to God, he will reward openly. And I'm just not completely sure what that means, but here's what I'll say about it. There are times we pray, and it seems our prayers aren't answered. In fact, God might even say no to our prayers. But I tell you, the day's coming when our prayer is going to be answered, when our highest prayer is going to be answered, and it's going to be public, it's going to be openly. Everybody will know when God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys prepared to you from the foundation of the world." Our prayers will be answered that day. And to hear that said, we need to be humble followers of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for listening. And next week I'll talk about heathen prayer and get into the Lord's Prayer. I hope you'll be with us. I hope you have a good week. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 o'clock right here on The Way of Truth.